John chapter 11, I'm going to quickly review the first part of the chapter, and we'll start in verse 28 tonight and try to get down through verse 39. We'll come right up to where Jesus says, take ye away the stone, but we'll wait till next week for the actual raising of Lazarus from the dead. So by way of review, Jesus and his disciples had left Judea. There was some controversy among the leaders of the Jews because of his healing of the blind man from birth. And it got to the point where they were ready to kill him. And so he left. The Bible says he went to a place called Perea, which is where John the Baptist baptized at the first. It was about a two-day journey from Jerusalem. While he was there, word came from two sisters, Mary and Martha, that their brother, Lazarus, a dear friend of Jesus, in fact, the message was, thou whom thou lovest is sick, was sick. They expected Jesus to come right away. Well, the Bible tells us that he waited 2 days in Perea and then said to his disciples, we're going to go to Bethany. Lazarus is asleep. I have to go wake him up. The disciples thought he was talking about a restful kind of sleep, and they said, well, if he's sleeping, he's doing better. Why should we go back to Judea? Last time you were there, they wanted to kill you. And Jesus said, I have to go back. I have to work while I have opportunities to work. I have to work in the day when there's light. And he said to them plainly, Lazarus is not better. He's dead. He has died. And he said, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sake. If I was there, I would have healed him. But because I wasn't there, you're going to see something greater than that. And Thomas said, well, if you're going to go back, then we're going to go with you because we might as well all die together. And again, I mentioned last week, not the kind of thing you think about when you think about Thomas, but he had a faith that said, hey, if our master's going, so are we. And if we die, we are going to all die together. Martha heard Jesus was coming, and she went out to meet him, and she made the statement, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But she said, I believe that even now, whatever you ask of God, he'll give it to you. And last week, we talked about the test of faith that Jesus put Martha through, about believing that Lazarus really wasn't dead, he just moved to a different place. For somebody that has put their trust in Christ, we don't die. We never die. In fact, nobody never dies. We have a part of us that's going to live forever. For us as Christians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I don't have time to take you through the whole conversation, but she ended up saying, in the midst of her grief, she says, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world, the one that we've been looking for as a Jewish people, the one that the prophets told us about. I believe that you're that person. So we start in verse 28 tonight. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. So her faith had been strengthened by Christ. And so she went to her sister and said, hey, Jesus has come. He's here. He's here, and he's looking for you. And the Bible says that she did that secretly. So she didn't do it openly, and there were still many mourners and other relatives around, but she did it secretly. Now, look at verses 29 through 31. And as soon as she, Mary, heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. So when Mary heard that Jesus was there, she did what we would expect her to do. Again, we mentioned last week, she was in deep grief. And whereas Martha, the practical one, was up taking care of all the people that had come to comfort them, Mary was in the house, sitting and weeping. And so she heard Jesus would come. She got up quickly and she ran out. The others, her friends, and the mourners that were there. And remember, I mentioned last week, back in those days, funerals lasted 7 days. That was and mourners, there were professional mourners that people would hire and come and spend the whole 7 days, and then family would come in and out during those days. This was day four, okay? Because, again, we're going to see in a minute, Martha's going to say, well, he's been dead 4 days already. So this was halfway through the funeral. And when her friends saw her get up quickly and leave in a hurry, they assumed that she was going out to the, she'd been grieving in the house, she's going to the grave to weep there. And so they followed her. Now, she wasn't going to the cemetery quite yet. She was going to the place where Martha had met Jesus. He hadn't come into town yet. He was still outside of town. Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She said the same thing that Martha had said. And I'm sure during the 4 days that had passed between Lazarus dying and this particular day, the sisters had talked about it many, many times. If only Jesus had been here. If only Jesus was here when Lazarus was sick. He could have helped him. Lazarus didn't need to die. If only our friend Jesus had been here. And so Mary expressed the same kind of faith that Martha did when she said, hey, if you'd been here, Lord, our brother would still be alive. But she didn't express the same kind of future faith that Martha had expressed. Mary was in grief. Okay, she didn't think about that day that Martha had thought about and said, "I know I'll see my brother again in the resurrection of last days." Mary didn't think about that at all. She was weeping that her brother was dead, and it was a grief of despair with no hope. A grief of despair with no hope. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and that word weeping literally means wailing. Okay? So there's a difference between weeping and wailing. She was basically mourning out of control. She was just wailing again as someone that had no hope. As someone that didn't realize that, hey, in Christ nobody really dies. They've just gone to a different place, and we'll see them again one day. That's kind of faith that Martha had, but Mary didn't have that. So when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, again, same word, wailing, and so there was this wail. And again, that's what the professional mourners were paid to do. They were paid to weep and wail and express sorrow. Notice what it says. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. It was a deep-seated spiritual agitation in Christ's soul. It was almost an if you look at the root word for groaned, It can also be translated to mean being indignant, okay? And so when Jesus saw Mary weeping and wailing, when he saw her friends doing the same thing, he was indignant in his spirit and was troubled. Again, they were wailing and weeping as those that have no hope. There was nothing present about a future faith, about what was going to happen in the future. There was nothing present about a future hope. They were wailing like, you know, Lazarus was dead and gone. That was it. Nothing else was going to happen. And remember, this is the one, Mary was the one, that sat at Jesus' feet. When Martha was busy taking care of the guests, when Martha was being very practical, Mary was the one that sat at Jesus' feet, listened to him speak, listened to him teach, just trying to soak up everything that he said. And you remember the first time that that happened, that we read about when Jesus was in their home and Martha was scurrying about and actually came to Jesus when Mary was sitting there and said, "Why don't you tell my sister to get up and help me?" And Jesus said, no, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part to sit here at my feet." And I would submit to you tonight that in this particular instance, in this situation, Martha had chosen the better part. She grieved, but she grieved with one as hope, with hope, with a hope that she would see her brother again. Mary grieved with a hopeless sort of grieving. She had forgotten what was going to happen. In verse 34, as Jesus was troubled again and groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have ye laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." So Jesus asked the question, "Where'd you bury him? Take me to the grave." So they took Jesus to the tomb. Now, John 11:35, anybody that says they can't memorize Bible verses, this is one you need to give them. John 11:35, Jesus wept. There's nobody in the world that can't memorize two words. And so everybody at least ought to know one verse from the Bible, John 11:35. In that verse, only two words, we see Jesus' love for mankind. I mean, we see it on the cross, but here he is identifying with these two sisters, with all their friends that are gathering to show that he knows when we suffer. He knows when we hurt, and he suffers and hurts with us. Now, when it says Jesus wept, that word is different than the weeping that we've looked at already. It doesn't mean that he wailed. It simply means that he shed tears. You could read it, he burst into tears, okay? He cried along with them. They weren't tears of personal bereavement. Jesus knew that Lazarus was still alive. In fact, he was perceiving spiritual reality at that particular moment. He was perceiving spiritual reality more than he'd done in his whole life. He was with the Lord. I mean, you know, now some people say, well, Jesus wept because he knew he was about to call Lazarus back to the cares of this earth. And so he was weeping that he was going to have his friend come back to earth. And again, I've talked to many people at funerals, and one of the ways I try to comfort them, I said, "You wouldn't call him back if you could, would you? Especially those that have been sick and have suffered. I mean, would you call them back to live in that state? I mean, they're with the Lord. They got a new body. They're out of pain. Well, we wouldn't call them back." And some people say, "Well, Jesus wept because he was about to call Lazarus back." But there's no evidence to support that. Jesus, again, was just responding to the sorrow that was about him. He shared their suffering by weeping in a way that was that you can't put into words. I mean, I've been with people that have, and, you know, when they've gotten bad news about their health, or when they've, you know, we've stood beside the bedside of somebody that has gone to be with the Lord, and sometimes, you know, the best thing you can do is just shed some tears with them. I usually try to say something, but one of the best ways to identify with somebody is to just cry with them during those times of weeping. And so that's what Jesus was doing. Now, notice the two reactions to Jesus weeping. In verse 36, "Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him." They said they saw when Jesus was weeping, this was a dear friend of Lazarus. He really loved his buddy. But verse 37, "And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" It's interesting that they didn't mention the events that had happened in Galilee where Jesus had already called two people back from the dead. At this point in Jesus' ministry, again, this was toward the end of his ministry, he had already raised the son of the widow of Nain. He'd already raised Jairus' daughter. Both of those events happened in Galilee. And it's hard to believe that nobody in Jerusalem had heard about those two events, and that, you know, here nobody mentioned it. The Jewish leaders had heard about the two resurrections that Jesus had called. And I'm using the wrong word. We're going to talk about it next week. Lazarus wasn't resurrected, because when you're resurrected, you never die again. But when he was called back to life, he was going to die again, just like the widow of Nain's son and Jairus' daughter. But the Jewish leaders had said, look, those Galileans, they're simple people. Those people that supposedly Jesus raised from the dead, they probably weren't dead anyway. Maybe they were just in a coma. Maybe they were just out. But, you know, and the people of Jerusalem have bought into what the Jewish leaders had said. But notice what they said in verse 37. They could not get over his healing of the man that had been blind from birth. It had happened about 3 months earlier. Remember, there was a big discussion. The Jewish leaders tried to prove, called his parents, said, is this your son? Has he been blind from birth? If it's so, how did he get his sight back? And again, his parents asked, yeah, this is our son. He was born blind. We don't know how he got his sight back. He's enough, you know, he's old enough. Ask him. Because they were afraid of being excommunicated from the temple. They remember that. They couldn't discount that. It had happened in their midst. It hadn't happened in Galilee. It had happened in their very midst. And so, why did they ask this question? I mean, why did they say, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Two possible meanings. One of them is that they doubted Jesus had the power to do it. The other one was, they admitted that he had the power, but maybe he didn't want to. Either way, whatever their reason, they were trying to paint Jesus in the bad light. Maybe he healed the blind, but he couldn't have healed this man. That's why, you know, he didn't get here in time. Or maybe he just didn't want to. So again, either way, they were trying to paint him in a bad picture. Now, verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. So the same word groaning, indignation. He was groaning in himself. Again, in verse 33, where he was talking about Mary, he was indignant about her lack of faith for the future. Here, he was indignant about their lack of faith for the present. He couldn't do it anyway. In verse 33, his indignation was a little bit stronger, because it says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. In verse 38, it says, again, groaned in himself. He was more sad, or however you want to say it, about Mary's lack of faith. Again, because she was the one that had sat at his feet. They were friends. How much time did he spend in their home? How much time did they talk about spiritual things? He expected Mary to have the same kind of future faith, the same kind of hope that Martha did. And she didn't. And that troubled him. That upset him. Now, for these Jews that didn't believe in any way, it caused some indignation. It caused some concern, but not as much as he had for Mary. And so he came to the tomb. It was a cave. That was the way that they buried people back then. It was either a natural cave or one that they carved out of the rock. It was much like the place that Jesus would later be buried. And when they put the body in, they rolled a stone over the opening to close the grave. In verse 38, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And then verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So he got to the tomb. He said, take the stone away. Now, Jesus was about to do what only God could do. But he wanted man to do what men could do. He could have just snapped his fingers and rolled the stone away without even touching it. He could have just blew a little breath of air and blew it away. But he said, no, I'm going to do something, but I want you to do what you can do. You move the stone. Before they did, Martha, practical Martha, said, Lord, he stinks by now. Again, they did not embalm people back then. That's why they usually buried them the same day. And we know that when they wrapped grave clothes around them, they put different spices in the grave clothes, again, to mask the smell of decay. And so, again, Martha was probably right. In spite of the spices, he's been dead for 4 days. The body had decayed for 4 days. And he probably stunk. Now, again, 4 days. We've talked about it a couple times, but this is where it really comes out. The Jewish tradition was that when a person died, their soul hovered around the tomb and around the body for 3 days, hoping that it would have a chance to re-enter the body. But on the fourth day, the soul left. Now, we don't know if Martha believed that or not. We know that Jesus didn't believe it. Okay, he didn't believe it. But many of the Jews that were standing around there with Mary and Martha believed it. And if Jesus had raised Lazarus prior to the fourth day, this belief or this tradition of the soul hovering around for the first 3 days, they would have used it to say, well, he wasn't really dead, and he wasn't really dead. I mean, he looked dead, and he seemed like he was dead, but, you know, within those 3 days, the soul hasn't departed yet, and so, you know, it's not much of a miracle for him to come back to life on day one, day two, or day three. And so, again, like we talked about, when word came to him in Perea, he waited 2 days, and it was a two-day journey back from Perea to Bethany. So when he got word, Lazarus was dead already. Jesus knew that. And so he waited 2 days. If he had taken off immediately when he got the word that Lazarus was sick, he would have been there. He would have got there at the end of day two. If he'd gone to the grave and said, Lazarus, come forth on day two, or the next day, day three, gone to the cemetery and said, Lazarus, come forth, the Jews would have said, well, not much of a miracle. Day two, day three, the soul's still around. Not much of a miracle. But on day four, even the skeptical Jews said, no, Lazarus is really, really, really dead. His soul has already left. I mean, it's not hovering around the tomb. It's not hovering around the body. So Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he also knew that he needed to do it at the right time so that what he did could not be discounted in any way that it was a miracle from God. Only God can raise the dead. Only he could do it. And next week, we'll look at Jesus doing that. Thank you for being here tonight. Men will be praying back here. Ladies will be praying back here. If you'd like to join them, please do that. But thank you for being here tonight. See you again on Sunday, Lord willing.